I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin Ross, my darling, how was your weekend?
My weekend was another incredible, action-packed,
right.
work-filled weekend. You
were
know,
you
work
local?
Makes me happy. Yeah, I was local this weekend. Yeah,
work makes me happy as well. I think it's because we love what we do.
Yeah, that's the getcha-gotcha, right?
That helps.
It's been a long road. Work life for me ain't been no crystal staircase.
You know what? You don't get your poet ass on somewhere for the Black History Month. You better go on and drop them gems. Okay, great docket today. I'm excited about this one. Actually saw this news come out when I was guest hosting on The Breakfast Club. Neo's ex-wife, Miss Crystal.
Yes.
Is reportedly less than satisfied, Dustin, with her $1.6 million divorce settlement from Neo, of course. I think this is interesting. I've got some take on it because remember, we talked about this.
We
anticipated. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be some shit when Neo said he wanted her evaluated mm-hmm. for her income
mm-hmm.
ability.
Mm-hmm.
So once that paperwork came through the pipeline, we knew it
what
was going to be
what kind of game
some,
was being played.
Correct. So we talked about that on season 2, episode 6. Mm-hmm. So early this season of Holding Court, we called that when you sleeping with a dependent or not.
How about that?
That's some good game in that episode.
You got to the bottom of that. I remember that.
Remember that?
It was a hot take.
I had to do a little push it behind the curtain on that one. And now it pretty much came to light. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about a lot of my group chats have been spicy on this topic, Dustin. There's a Black women's relaxer class action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm sure, you know, if you're in the culture, you probably heard about this by now. If not, Auntie E's going to tell you what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
L'Oreal is facing lawsuits, particularly under the Dark and Lovely brand. We all remember Miss Dark and Lovely.
Yes, we do. I can see that box right now.
Right now. And I've had some Dark and Lovely moments myself. Okay. So some good, some not so good.
Uh-huh.
We won't even talk about it, but I got pictures. And this is, of course, where Black women, mostly Black women, that's mostly who get these types of chemical relaxers, are suing mm-hmm. L'Oreal, big parent company, got billions of dollars, because they're saying that the relaxers, unbeknownst to them, Dustin, has increased their chances of, and sometimes their diagnoses, unfortunately, of uterine cancer.
Mm.
I've also heard endometriosis
mm-hmm.
and some other major health concerns. So we'll talk about the relaxer lawsuit. And I want to end with this pair of football adjacent stories, just because, y'all, I understand keeping it real and accountability in the culture. And, you know, sometimes we be acting up. Trust me, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really not for speaking against Blackness generally in mixed company.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
never
I want to talk about, Deion Sanders' daughter has had to offer an apology because she exaggerated claims of murders and burglaries at Jackson State University's campus. And very similarly, Ed Reed talked so damn much and so bad about Bethune-Cookman, he fumbled his own bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lesson there in both of those stories. And so I want to address that.
Yeah.
You know.
Handle it in-house.
There's a time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Child.
That's our business.
Right. I was going to say, this is what I wish my grandma Katie could come back from the grave. You know, don't let these white folks know what's going on in
our
house.
That's right.
That's when you get a beating.
That's right.
When you get home. And Ed Reed, you sure got a beating.
The worst kind.
The worst kind. The retract that damn deposit kind.
Okay. Beat them feet.
Stop payment.
Okay. Stop
payment. Damn. But Bethune-Cookman said, hold up. That shit ain't clear yet. Stop payment. All right. So we're going to start with Neo and his wife, ex-wife now, Crystal Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Neo now are officially divorced. It's a lot. I feel like a lot of divorces have become official in the last week, right?
Yeah.
Because Cynthia and Mike are
officially
divorced.
Done.
I think Giselle and Tom Brady are officially divorced as of a couple of weeks ago. A lot of paper.
Yeah.
Sound like a judge was just doing a lot of sign. Let me get this shit off my desk.
You know, they back from the holidays.
That's what it
you
is.
You know what I'm saying?
Real official. Uh-huh. So Crystal and Neo officially divorced now. And let's talk about the settlement. And, you know, culture, y'all remember, they got back together and split
mm-hmm.
several times.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, according to Chris, and I think it's now being confirmed even by Neo's camp, but you can correct me on this one, Dustin. You're a little bit closer to the heartbeat of the culture on this. He's acknowledged the child he had within the marriage.
He's acknowledged that something has taken place.
Okay.
But I don't think there's been a blatant acknowledgement of a child yet.
Okay. But that's what she alleged.
Yeah.
She very much so. Yeah. She said that there was an outside
baby. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Prostitutes, all kind of shit she said was going on.
Well, you know.
She hit that
the industry.
Emergency break.
Yeah. Whew. All right. Now, they also share, of course, their children. They've got a six-year-old and a three-year-old and a one-year-old. So that's three kids. So part of her settlement, which we'll get to, is the child support. But let's break it down. She's going to get $12,000 a month in child support. So that's for the three kids.
Four racks apiece.
Felt low to me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it, though. She's also going to get, Dustin, $5,000 a month in alimony, but only until 2026. Put a pin in that.
Mm-hmm.
She's also getting $150,000 basically as a budget for a brand new car because Neo is going to keep the Bentley. And she's getting $20,000 for moving expenses. Again, that feels low to me. I guess they're in Georgia, though. Because I was going to say, shit, I
do that
up
here,
on
that. Like, what?
My little 700 square feet.
Like, what?
Okay, but, you know, Georgia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this with you, Dustin. Okay. We're going to stick to the financial breakdown first, Dustin. And then I want to get to this clause, this very unusual clause.
Yes,
very unusual clause around romantic partners and future relationships between these two. And we started this by saying she's getting close to $1.6 million. Let me tell you what that is. That is a big check to cash out their assets. Like that's basically, Neo's going to sell the family house, and that's her portion of the marital residence. So that's what that 1.6 is. So y'all, that's not support. That's not child support or alimony. That's just a settling of sorts of the housing, the joint housing that they acquired during the marriage. So that's house money, the 1.6. And in terms of her settlement, it's just that $12,000 a month in child support, $5,000 a month for the next 3 years in alimony, and a car budget. That's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess basic needs are met, but I wonder what kind of prenup she signed. That
a good one.
Yeah, because we're talking about Neo,
right? Who's written publishing rights. I mean, yeah.
Multiple millions.
He still tours.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, his albums.
And they have three kids. I definitely thought the numbers were low. And a lot of people are blinded by that $1.6 million payment, but it's not a lump sum payment of.
It's not even a payment of any kind. All that's doing is all that's doing is making her whole from their joint housing asset.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally not support of any kind.
No.
It sounds like a bad settlement for her, just to be honest with you. I just have to say it plain. Now, I'm not saying it's legally erroneous. Like you said, Dustin Pert, we don't know what their prenup looks like. But this is, put it this way. I know baby mamas in the NBA that make more money. Mm-hmm. Of Negroes whose names you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They get more money than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was paltry. You know what I mean? I definitely thought that.
Not poultry, not more porridge, please.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's giving Oliver Twist. Please,
okay, yeah.
More porridge.
You know, and it was. I think that and Neo has been, it's so funny because in his interviews and in the press, Neo is soft-spoken and he's very unassumingly.
Let me tell you something about Neo. And I don't even think this is no tea because Neo be everywhere. Neo has a very long eye.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah. And so is Crystal, because she says she's getting the hell on down the street from that relationship. So good for her. Good for her.
It is time.
She loves their children. Yeah.
And listen, what we do know is life is good after Neo.
Yeah.
Because look at,
Monietta.
Yeah, that's it.
His ex-fiance. Yeah.
Living a good life.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's life after divorce is good. Trust Auntie E on that.
Okay, how about that?
Trust me on that, okay? If it ain't the right one, it's the wrong one, and it's time to keep it pushing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she did, and I don't want to, you know, shape this section of the conversation as if she's just, you know, in dire straits now.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah.
Well, let's,
you know?
Okay, so let's get to it, right? Yeah. So part of the reason that her settlement is so, in your word, what'd you call it?
Paltry.
Mm-hmm. Meager.
Meager. Please.
Stop. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it. The reason it looks like that, y'all, is in part because I think from a legal standpoint, I would categorize this as brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
From Neo and his legal team. They had her assessed pre-settlement for her income earning potential. which basically argued that Crystal, because of her rabid fan base on social media, I think she has close to a million followers, that she has established herself as a successful brand ambassador and influencer of sorts. Basically, Neo said, ma'am, you can make money. You're not wholly dependent. And you're not going to go into this court and frame yourself as such, like you say, in dire straits, or, you know, if I don't give it to you, you and the kids won't eat. That's not your scenario. And he was able to successfully, Dustin, argue that. And that is why part of the reason this settlement is so low. What you thinking?
I'm crunching numbers in my head. Okay. I'm just thinking like the tuition for those three kids alone. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
they're going to be in public school.
They have to if it's got to come out at 12K.
Well, I was going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to say what we don't know. And I'm going to thank you for mentioning this because, you know, this doesn't reflect the numbers that are being reported. Mm-hmm. It is very possible. And frankly, I hope that as a separate from her spousal support and her child support, Neo's covering everything else. He should be covering education, medical, dental, braces. Mm-hmm. You know, Crystal shouldn't be paying for braces out of $4,000 a month for a kid. You know what I mean? So, you know, veneer. No, I'm just playing.
Whatever it takes. You know what
whatever
I mean?
Whatever it takes. Okay. That's it. So that is part of why that number looks that way. And let's talk about it. Crystal is an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. She's currently the CEO of her own skincare line called Nude Luxe RX Skincare. Mm-hmm. And she has a restaurant, Johnny's Chicken and Waffles, located in College Park, Maryland, co-owned by Neo and love and hip hop star Carly Red.
Okay.
And, you know, all of that is playing into a judge's decision, Dustin, to say, basically, ma'am, you got it. You got it. The court has determined you are literally not dependent. You have many businesses, many assets. So all what we're going to require Neo to do in this case is just give you a little supplement.
How?
I'm telling you, I think I called it. Once that assessment came down, I said, oh, he not about to pay nothing. Because once he can successfully prove to the court that she is not a dependent, because that's the first element of a high number divorce outcome. The first thing, before we get to the numbers and the prenup or any of that, the first thing you have to convince a judge, Dustin, is I am dependent, Your Honor. I cannot live my lifestyle as I've grown accustomed without this person support. Because we know, what's his name? Keno? Mary's ex-husband.
Yeah, it's on the Ken Do. Yeah.
Ken Don't.
I have forgotten about his name.
Ken Don't Work. Yeah. Let me stop. So again, we know this works. This what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This has no gender stipulation anymore, y'all. Mm-hmm. So the pleading party,
Kevin Hunter.
Oh my God. Kevin Hunter's the worst.
Excuse me, Kelvin Hunter, right?
Is it Kelvin?
It's Kelvin. For all these years we've been saying Kevin, and she named
her
son Little Kevin.
Kevin.
It's Kelvin. Mm-hmm.
Child, whatever.
We should have known then. Because why are you hiding the L?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Silent L.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so once you prove that you are a dependent, now the floodgates are open. Crystal was not able to successfully even convince this judge, Dustin, that she was dependent. And at least on the facts as I'm looking at them, I see why. Mm-hmm. You don't look dependent. Mm-hmm. You got a restaurant, you got a skincare line, you got social media income. I'm sure she's going to pop up on a reality show soon. You're not a dependent. So there you go. Which is also interesting. Well, let me just leave it there.
No. Say it.
Well, no, I was just going back to the Robin and Juan of it all, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of their prenup, which we didn't get into it because I wasn't asked directly. I think it was a huge mistake for her not to include that what we traditionally call the bad boy clause, or it could be bad bitch clause nowadays, whatever. That infidelity clause that says if one party or both or either participates in infidelity, there is then that punitive aspect that goes into effect. I think more prenups need to have that.
I agree. It's just so scary to think that you have to have things so detailed to that
point. Well, stop it with your romanticism.
I hate that you gotta do that. Keep it player. You know what I'm saying? Like if me and my girl decided to go separate ways, you know what I'm saying? We had a baby, I just make sure she was straight.
Okay, what about you and your, does it matter? I mean, I'm curious. Does it matter if it's same sex?
Not at all. Because you better believe if I was in a relationship and we had a child together and we split, and I was successful. Like we're going
like
to
you
be.
Are. If I was successful,
would,
you got that, Ashley?
I would just kill the noise when if I was in a position of power like that, where that conversation mattered and it could be harmfully impactful.
But what
to
if
my...
what if no child? Let's take the child out of it because we
then
know.
Fuck you.
Dustin. I say Dustin. Juan and Robin's kid is about to be grown probably by the time this is in play. Right?
If ain't no child involved.
Yeah.
You going out the front. Remember how they used to throw Jazzy Jeff out the front door on the Fresh Prince? That's how your ass going out. Get
the same way you came
out.
In. The same way you came in.
Yeah. But no, hopefully not. You know, hopefully, you know.
No, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm honestly at a place in life where it's something I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, don't get me started. You know, my old unromantic ass. This is why marriage at this point is not particularly desirable, to be candid. Unless... I'm going to be putting myself in a situation to have more assets than not. I mean, that's just the reality. That's what marriage fucking is, y'all.
It's a contract.
It is a business merger of both, because y'all want to talk about the assets, also liabilities.
How about that?
The liabilities are split too.
Robin.
He owed the IRS, bitch, so do you. That's what that means. So...
I have one more. Well, we're actually on the same page.
Okay.
But more on that later. Yeah. But back to the Robin and Juan thing. This is a question that I did have for you because I don't think we've touched on this at all because we haven't had a reason to.
Well, yeah, we have other content.
You know. with her marrying Juan as he's in the middle of these allegations that are swirling around his name connected to what's going on with his school.
Investigation. And the
no prenup, because we know that on the show she said they never got around to signing the prenup. What is that going to look like for her as far as being...
Exposure. It looks like exposure, which is why you heard me speak to the... I think, I'm probably accurately presuming what I think was a smart move by Coach Shaw to protect himself. So that's the thing, y'all. When you are married, and this is another thing to consider, I'll frame it that way... So goes your spouse, so goes you. That is the very nature of marriage. You know, federal investigation of your partner, federal investigation of you. That is how the government will construe you until it has reason not to.
Yeah.
So what does it look like for Robin during this investigation? Exposure. Mm. Up and until she will now the burden shifts and you almost have to show an offering to the investigative agency that your hands are clean.
Do you think it was a wise choice to get married in the middle of that?
Don't ask me no question like that. I don't think it was a wise choice to get married at all.
Period, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see where the incentive... I don't see what would even incentivize a couple in their position to get married.
Well, I think that we saw it. Just if you watched... You saw
it
at the end of the finale when Robin... gave a middle finger to the camera and slapped her butt as saying, kiss my ass to the fans. I think that is what that gesture was about.
Because your kids are damn near grown.
Y'all were doing fine not
y'all
being married.
Y'all were doing fine. Y'all are living together in the way that works for you. You know, the bills are clearly being paid. The house is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Giselle already dropped that and said that the house was in Robin's name, Juan's name, and on the house.
I heard that. And that does not surprise. Again, this goes to why bother then with the marriage? Mm-hmm. You know, if your credit is so, if we have such a different discrepancy in our FICO scores that I have to have my name in my house.
Why would we be combining our business?
That's all I'm saying. I'm going to just end with this because they say, Ebony's so anti-marriage. I'm not anti-marriage, y'all. I'm for marriage that makes sense.
Yeah.
So just evaluate what, from the business lens, credit scores, assets, debts, IRS bills, or credits. Just look at earning potential and exposure. You just want to make sure that all of that aligns if you are then going to move forward with the loving, romantic, and business transaction of getting married.
There you go,
Ebony. Because
that's
what it is.
And that's the breakdown. Robin.
What's next on the agenda? what's Cynthia say? What else is going on?
All right, okay, now what else is
going
on?
That's one of my favorite lines. I love me some what else is going on.
Okay.
Dark and Lovely, that's what's going on.
Yes.
Dark and Lovely and their parent company, L'Oreal, are being sued in a class action lawsuit now by several women. I have some sores and women I know that are in this class action, Dustin. And it's not too late. Y'all Google it and you can find out an attorney or a firm near you. Yes, that is representing aspects of this class action. So you can get your $20. I hate to say it like that, but that's what it's going to be. That's the thing. That's why I don't really love class actions.
Me either, because what are we going through all this process
for? I literally got like a $7 check from one of my college loan companies. The fuck am I? I can't even really buy a good Starbucks coffee
with
$7.
Y'all made my life worse.
Yeah. It took me more energy to cash
to cash the damn check.
Anyway, L'Oreal.
We got to deal with the attitude from
the
teller.
Line,
how
right.
do you think the teller going to look at me with a $7 damn check?
Right. Miss Williams. What am I supposed to do with $7.32? Shout out to Sally Mae. Anyway, L'Oreal is facing a product liability lawsuit. And we'll go over product liability and the elements required in that in a second.
Okay.
Bought by one particular Illinois woman. But again, this is a broader class action as well going on. Saying that the relaxer in her case caused uterine cancer. Cause is very important when you are bringing a action like this, Dustin, which is a complex tort.
Mm-hmm.
This is a causal link.
Mm.
So it's not enough that you just consume the product. You can consume the product all day long. If it did not directly and proximately, that's a legal term, cause your injury, in this case, cancer, you ain't getting nothing. That's how that works. So after years of applying the toxic chemicals directly to her scalp, she's now saying that she had the uterine cancer as a result. This is, you know, very, very sad. We see it. You know, I think that for years, and let me tell you where this is going to be hard. A little more facts here. This particular plaintiff, Miss Victoria Clark, filed her lawsuit early in January. This, of course, is federal. This would never be a state claim because it's a product liability lawsuit that's almost always going to be federal. And also, you are suing someone out of your state.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be in District Court of Illinois. She says that L'Oreal and its subsidiary, Soft Sheen. Shout out to Soft Sheen.
Soft Sheen.
You remember the hair show in Atlanta?
Bronner Brothers.
Bronner Brothers.
Absolutely.
My mama used to take me.
My aunt had a shout out to the Beauty Image Salon in Flint, Michigan.
Okay, well,
my
if we doing that, shout out to Gigi's Hair Care in Charlotte, North Carolina, off of Camp Green.
All of those things,
all of those
right?
things, okay.
Because, you know, the salon meant a lot to black culture.
Everything.
Back in the day, like, you know.
Everything.
It was different. But, yeah, I remember all that stuff.
Yeah,
my
mom, you know, she had a salon, so we used to be at Bronner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be her hair model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mom used to have me going to school with Ocean Waves.
I remember Ocean Waves,
baby. Ashley, why my mama had me going to school with Ocean Waves? I would be at the bus stop trying to take them out, getting popped. Shout out to Mama Gloria.
Yes, shout out to
had
Mama
me
Gloria.
Looking like a 42-year-old mother, too.
I bet you
in the eighth
Ocean
grade.
Waves was laid, though, wasn't
I? I had Ocean Waves and a French roll.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Ah!
Ocean Waves, and then you go up
my
into
mom
the
is,
French roll
basically,
in the back.
Wait, Dustin, I just realized this. My mom has been trolling me for 35 years.
For what it's worth. The girls were wearing. Oh,
stop! I don't want to hear this bullshit. I don't want to see this bullshit. Had me looking like I was 2 months late on my own rent.
They
in
was
the eighth
wearing,
grade.
You know, the girls was looking, you know, like that back in the day, but they wore that. Yeah.
My problem was at the French roll, Ashley. My problem was the ocean waves in the front.
They would do three waves.
It was three waves.
Uh-huh, the French roll with a
peak
on the side.
And then she would take that spray color
and put the. Oh, yes, like the burgundy glitter. Yeah. The good old days.
I need to bring a class action against Gloria.
Okay.
Gigi's Hair Care. Trauma.
That is hilarious.
Such a mess. You know, I couldn't pull. Some people could pull it off. I couldn't pull this shit off. Anyway, with my LL Bean backpack, it was all a mess. It was
Ebony
just everything.
Got me hollering.
It just wasn't going together. Anyway, Doc Martens and finger waves. The fuck is that? JNCOs. Listening to Savage Garden. The fuck?
It was a lot going on.
It was a lot going on.
Okay, it was a lot going on.
All right. Dark and Lovely says that their name has been in, they're not in it, basically. Mm. They're saying that she began using the Dark and Lovely product in 88, having gone to professional salons for decades. But of course, they are denying liability. They are saying that their product had nothing to do with her being diagnosed, sadly, with uterine cancer. Again, this is a whole bunch of cases, y'all, that are coming up. Claims have been filed against Optimum. I remember them.
Optimum, the purple and yellow. Mm-hmm.
Great branding. Mm-hmm. Optimum has some of the best branding in the game. Motions.
Motions. Because Optimum was red and yellow, right? Or was that Carefree I'm thinking about?
Carefree
was red and yellow.
Curl.
Motions was definitely yellow with the purple
motion
writing.
Motion was, yes. Mm-hmm. Was yellow with that purple writing was Motions.
Yeah.
Because their product really wasn't shit, but it was just the branding.
Motions. Yeah. Everybody was using
Olive
Motions.
Olive oil, you know,
oh,
the spray.
Yes, the green.
Yeah, I remember all these brands. Oh, my God.
Yep, Nexus.
Who's not on the list because I don't think they had much toxicity is Pink Oil Moisturizer.
Oh, yeah, Pink Oil Moisturizer. Well, you know, that was natural as far as we was concerned.
That was the next thing closest to baby oil.
Okay, that's right.
Like drenched every morning.
I can smell it right now.
Drenched. Yep. You hear me? Running down my face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, traumatized me. Including lawsuits over uterine cancer caused by hair relaxers and ovarian cancers, also fibroids, and like I said, also the endometriosis.
Yeah.
So here's where this is challenging, because God knows, you know, I'm right there with all my sisters in the group chats, Dustin, feeling away that these companies, I do believe, knew.
Yep.
I absolutely believe that they're not going to have a knowledge problem, because that's one of the elements they're going to have to prove too. It's not enough that the product even did what you say it did. The manufacturer had to have actual or presumed knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
When I say presumed knowledge, Dustin, that means knew or should have known.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning either you actually knew, or because of everything you have done in the space, you should have known.
You should have known better. Yeah.
The problem is, I think the knowledge element will be established, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they had tests. I think they had data for years going back showing the likely toxicity of these products. I think the problem is if I'm representing Soft Sheen or L'Oreal or Dark and Lovely or Motions or anybody else, this is what I'm going to do on the stand, Dustin. I'm going to say, Mr. Ross, tell me the years in which you consumed a motion relaxer.
Mm-hmm. 2003 to 2017.
Okay, well, that's on you, because by then you should have leveled on up to a firm. But anyway.
A firm.
Listen, I'm just playing. Okay, fair enough.
I forgot about a firm relaxer.
No, a firm. Yes. That's for us rich bitches.
Yes, a firm. The
a
word
firm.
A firm.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
not
a firm.
A firm relaxer. It was a brand
of firm.
No,
it's called
firm.
A firm.
Yes.
That's for us with, quote, good hair.
Yes.
Now, Oprah used it a firm.
And a firm, yes. Reggie, was that her? What was her name?
Andre
did her hair.
Yeah, Oprah had it affirmed.
I
think he launched his own hairline brand and care brand in his
cash.
I don't think he doing Rolodex no more.
Well, he ain't. So he ain't behind the chair.
That's
no more.
Shout out to that.
Go ahead, Andre.
He cashing them big checks.
Okay.
I love to see it.
Yeah.
That's anyway. How you know. Mazzani. And a firm.
Oh, my God.
That's for when
Mazzani.
You got your paper right.
Yes.
I was just getting
experience.
Me an Affirm or a Mazzani up to 3 years ago. So, you know, I'm new to this natural
life.
Was that
a Bantu relaxer?
No, that was bad. That's for a broke bitch. That and that Mane and Tail shampoo.
Mane and Tail.
Okay. my mama really thought she was doing something with that Mane and Tail.
Oh, the nostalgia.
Like, because everybody thought Mane and Tail was going to give you curly hair.
Right.
Like,
and them cholesterol treatments.
Yeah. Oh,
Queen
yeah,
Helene
that butter,
cholesterol.
That Queen Helene.
Uh-huh.
I sent it that dry all day. I still got
all
4C.
Day long.
It's still 4C over here.
Okay, still. All of that for nothing.
All of that for nothing. Okay. So back to your relaxer use, Mr. Ross. So
yes.
you used our relaxer for about 5 or 6 years. Okay, fine, great. You had it professionally done, or you did it yourself?
I had it professionally done.
Okay, so you went to a salon. Mm-hmm. They professionally did it. I'm going to presume you went to a good stylist, so they did it according to our instructions. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let me ask you this, and then you developed fibroid tumors.
I did.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Wore me out.
I'm very sorry for that.
Thank you.
Have you ever had a Diet Coke?
No.
How about a pack of Splenda?
No.
Okay. Have you ever cleaned a tub with Comet?
I have.
Mm-hmm. And first of all, bitch, I know you was lying about them first two. I'm chilling your face.
But you know, but I couldn't lie. If I was using Perm, you know I was using Comet to clean the tub.
That's why I asked you that. That's why I asked you that. And then the scrubbing bubbles for the toilet. Yeah,
you know it.
You know. And leave it on there for about 30 minutes.
You got to. You got to let that comment sit.
So my point is, Mr. Ross, as terrible as I feel about your fibroids, we refuse to concede the causal link to our product, because you just told me on this witness stand that you were an avid consumer of toxic chemicals and Comet cleaning supplies.
Mm.
I believe you probably had a pack of Equal, a Splenda, a Sweet and Low in your day or two on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably drink Coca-Cola. I know you drink Clearly Canadian. I know that. That's on your Instagram.
Yes.
And that's discoverable, by the way, y'all. Look at you, shame.
Y'all using, now they're using my social media. See?
And that's what we gonna do.
See?
So, Your Honor, I'd like
to move.
I'm
about to go full
Your
hotel.
Honor, I would like to move for a summary judgment of dismissal. Case closed. I feel like that's how it's gonna go down. Now, it probably won't get to trial. Mm-hmm. This will probably be settled, but it's gonna be settled for pennies on the dollar. So I just don't want my fellow relaxee victims, and that's what we are. For a lot of different reasons.
It's not funny, but it's just funny the way I said it. My fellow relaxee.
We are relaxing victims. You goddamn right. But I don't want us to get our hopes up too high.
Yes.
I'm just being honest. Because it's probably going to be about $25.
Probably. At best.
At best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it on that, ladies. And
wow.
Gents.
Yeah.
That's it. That's that on that, ladies and iced tea.
And ladies and iced tea. Okay.
Did you see that meme going around, iced tea with that good perm? Because, you know, he's getting his star on the Walk of Fame this week.
No, I haven't seen it and didn't know that. But but I love that. Iced tea deserves that.
I actually think that these Walks of Fame stars are coming way too late for certain people's careers.
For sure.
Like,
I just
why
saw
is
Pepper got one. Yeah.
Late ass stars.
I know it.
You know, these people should have had stars 20 years ago. I'm about to think it don't even matter no more, to be honest with you. They can keep mine.
Yeah.
You know, don't come knocking on my door at 60 years old.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
I can't even walk to look at the motherfucker no more.
Right.
What does it make to me?
Right. And if mine ain't, Dustin, if mine ain't next to Michael Jackson's, I don't want it.
I want to be on the right block. You know,
I want
to be right over there by Mary J. Blige.
Up there on Vine by
No.
That's where they be putting people now.
That's where Jennifer Hudson and a few other people
they
are.
They can keep it.
Yeah.
If I'm not in front of the Chinese theater.
I want
to
be
next to Michael.
There you go.
And the Jackson 5,
mm-hmm.
I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the record for that.
I know that's right.
Don't put me damn in Glendale and shit.
It's just so funny to me because I had to stay at the W in Hollywood, which I know. But I had to stay there for a project last year.
That was the same time that she was getting that motions relaxer.
It was, you know, it was the worst of times. It was the worst of times.
I cannot.
But I saw the stars right over there in front of the W.
Yeah.
And that's why that is hilarious.
Isn't that?
Because
if you know
the Walk of Fame, then you know.
Yes. I was feeling away.
Ebony.
They ain't shit for that. All right. Speaking of ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think it's the move to be talking sideways, even if it's accurate, because I'm not calling these people liars. I'm talking about, of course, her name is Deandra.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders' daughter, Deandra Sanders,
mm-hmm.
and Ed Reed separately. So I'll break both stories down. But they have both had to apologize, Dustin, for the same damn thing.
Running your mouth,
talking cross, as the good old folks would say,
mm-hmm.
talking cross about Black institutions. In this case, you're literally talking publicly about HBCUs and I do believe horrible conditions on campus, but I'm not sure what the benefit of taking that public, especially in mixed company, especially in a time when you have dumbasses like Ron DeSantis and the like already trying to delegitimize the value of Black education in the first place. You see what I mean?
Completely. And this is where people not being
aware
of what's going on in the world matters, right? Mm-hmm. Young lady. Well, go ahead.
Yeah,
and we'll
speaking
get
of young lady, Miss Deandra Sanders, this is Deion's daughter, one of his daughters, y'all. In a recent interview after her father left Jackson State mm-hmm. University, which I had no problem with. Did
Me
we talk
either.
About that on
we
the show?
Did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out to Brother Deion Prime at Colorado State now. But before that, he was at Jackson State very successfully for 3 years.
Yep.
Deandra Sanders said that she was. Oh, she. By the way, we're getting this. I cite our source. This is from Baller Alert podcast. Mm-hmm. Deandra made claims on that podcast, Dustin, that she felt unsafe at Jackson State University during her father's time coaching their football team. This is a grown woman. This is not a little girl. She is 30. And she said that she saw regular killings or there were regular killings, rather. And. Thievery, she said, stealing, taking place on the campus. And then she praised her father, Deion, for giving back by coaching the team for 3 seasons before going on to Colorado. As you might imagine, folks were pissed, Dustin, at these alleged claims of all of these murders and all of this stealing that went on campus at Jackson State University. And she took to Twitter a couple of days after the podcast aired and people, you know, gave her the business. And she did post a video where she apologized and acknowledged that she was really exaggerating the claims anyway. This is a quote from her. It may not have been every few months, but it did happen. Let's not get it twisted. She tweeted, it's a lot of y'all don't know about, but I do apologize for exaggerating. I had no ill intent with my comments. So let's start with that last statement. I had no ill intent with my comments. So let's talk about what did you intend with the comment?
What did you think the response was going to be, saying that there were murders, multiple murders
all the time?
Like, what do you, you definitely had ill intent.
And if you didn't, you weren't thinking.
Girl, you need to get your 30-year-old. Maybe you need to enroll.
You might need to enroll. I was just going to say.
Because what's not clicking for you that you don't know making these sort of disparaging comments about an HBCU when you know HBCUs are denied funding.
That part. That's why you got FAMU right now suing the state of Florida, mm-hmm. speaking of DeSantis' dumbass, because the state is not adequately funding mm-hmm. them next to Florida State. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, again, ma'am, Ms. Sanders, I'm really not particularly concerned with your intention. I'm only concerned with the impact. And what I can tell you, the impact of such disparaging statements, and by your own admission, not even fully accurate.
You're lying.
You can call it exaggerating if you want to. You know, a lot of people like to play a lot of euphemism games these days.
We're not finna get into a game of semantics.
I'm not playing semantics with you.
You lied.
You lied. You wanted some clout. You felt away because of the public onslaught of Black Twitter and the like coming for your father and his decision to elevate his career. I had to think about that. Yeah, right. Elevate his career and his bag. Mm-hmm. And I understand you felt away. But the answer to that is to not then shit on Jackson State University.
And my thing is, aside from you being Deion Sanders' daughter, what the fuck do you have to do with this any damn way?
That part.
Why are you even opining on the state of this? What are you doing?
You kept it for your daddy. That's all she's doing. But you did it at the expense of a historically Black college and university right. that is already vulnerable for all the reasons you pointed out, Dustin Ross. And also, you lied about it. You didn't even tell the real truth.
Lying instead of just defending. If you're going to defend your daddy,
and defend your daddy on the merits.
Stand on it.
That's it.
Talk about the decision. Don't try to say, and he left because
they
the
was
school
killing
was so,
and shooting
it's
shit.
So bad in the hood. Yeah. Girl, Deandra, ma'am.
Go in and take some classes, Deandra.
Yeah, you the first motherfucker need to enroll. And this is exactly why we need. And it's not going to be in AP, unfortunately, because she's going to be in. In AP.
What you call it? I was going to say intermediate, but remedial. Maybe not even remedial.
Remedial.
Yeah.
Which some people need, and that's why it exists.
Thank God for
and
it.
And she's some of the people that need it.
Speaking of enrolling, I do want to shout out the good sister from North Carolina, Miss Fantasia.
Yes.
Did you see? She's actually enrolling in, I don't want to get the college wrong, but she is enrolling in college.
Good for Fantasia.
People talk a lot of shit about Fantasia and make fun of her and all that. To me, it took a lot of strength to be vulnerable and admit her mm-hmm. issues with literacy mm-hmm. and things like that, because that's real.
Yeah.
You know, my mom says she gave somebody, a young Black woman, and this was in Montgomery, Alabama, just 2 days ago. She was showing a young lady something from my book, mm-hmm. and the young lady couldn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, some of us out here are struggling with literacy.
It's a very real thing, and that shit was never funny to me in the first place. Fantasia means a lot to America in general, but
she
means
a lot
people.
To my Black Charlotte ass.
North Carolina,
listen,
you know,
stand up,
she's
high
from
point,
High Point,
stand
yeah.
up. Charlotte, stand up. I love me some Fantasia Barrino. I love me some Tasia.
Absolutely, Tasia Reno.
That's
what the little girls say. Tasia
Reno. She got her GED mm-hmm. a few years ago. She has recently, and I love that she shouted out, shout out to the D9. She says she is motivated, Dustin, to participate in her college experience now because she's recently been made an honorary member of Sigma Gamma Rho
Good
Sorority
for
Incorporated.
May she get everything that's coming to her. I know
I
she has
Fantasia.
The Color Purple movie musical
yes!
about to come out. She's about to experience a real upswing in her
yeah,
career.
It's about to be harvest season for Fantasia.
Yeah, and to me, it's always been low-hanging fruit and a very lazy joke to crack.
Yeah.
Trying to say Fantasia can't read when she, as you said, was so brave and open with that.
Absolutely.
And so I love this story. This is good information for
it's
Fantasia.
Great information. And, you know, people was talking real slick when she was made honorary SGRO, like, oh, of course she had to be honorary because she don't have no degree. Ma'am, I'm a proud member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, and we have tons of honorary members mm-hmm. with no degrees. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave that right there.
What about other people who pledged and did not complete their degree program?
We call them an associate member.
Okay.
And they... And that is frowned upon. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear.
But they exist.
But
right?
They, of course, they exist.
Yeah. So back up off of Fantasia.
Yeah. Like, people need to
honorary.
Really mind their business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's an honor.
Yeah.
The reality is, I know in my organization, I haven't read the what you call the terms and conditions of SG Row membership. Mm-hmm. But
you but know that you know the AKA shade was coming in there some kind of way. I love it. You know I love it when you be on your AKA shit.
I love it. But I know for us, that is actually statutorily, mm-hmm. it is in our documents, mm-hmm. know your documents, that is the highest level mm-hmm. of membership in the sorority. Mm-hmm. So y'all need to stop it playing in Fantasia's face. And that's
just
why she said, and I'm about to bust up with this bachelor's on y'all too.
Yep. And, good for her. And she just had a beautiful baby girl, what, about a year or two
yeah.
ago?
Fantasia,
her husband is supportive and loving to her, it appears. Good for Fantasia.
Yeah, it appears.
It appears.
And that's, you know what? That's all we know.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
For
how
all
it
we
appears.
Know. Yeah, okay.
That's how it appears. Shout out to Fantasia. Okay, so going on from Miss Deandra Sanders and her lying and exaggerating off of the strength of this HBCU, here go another motherfucker talking too much. Ed Reed,
mm-hmm.
former Baltimore Ravens, I think champion. I think he mm-hmm. won Super Bowl with him. Anyway, Reed had agreed, Dustin, I had to say had, agreed to become Bethune-Cookman's head football coach last month. Actually, many people were framing it, and I'm sure this is true, kind of following the model that Deion set up by being mm-hmm. this kind of former NFL superstar coming to put an HBCU football program on their back mm-hmm. and elevate it in every
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, financially, it was all looking up.
Mm-hmm.
For both Bethune-Cookman and Ed Reed. Because mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I hadn't heard Ed Reed's name in a hot minute.
Years, yeah.
So instead of just doing your job, sir, you wanted to go on social media talking shit. He has apologized, but basically he was talking shit, talking about the conditions of the school, basically just saying it was raggedy and dirty and trifling and all this shit, okay? His apology reads as follows. In regards to my social media and comments about the university staff and other institutions, I would like to sincerely apologize to all BCU staff, students, and alumni for my lack of professionalism. My language and tone were unacceptable as a father, coach, and leader. My passion for our culture, betterment, and bringing our foundation up got the best of me, and I fell victim. Oh my God, talk about an apology is not an apology. I fell victim while engaging with antagonists on social media as well. I am fully aware of the hardworking folks at our school. Is it our school? who are also fighting to make things better and more financially sound.
Mm-hmm.
I am encouraged from my communication with my AD, athletic director, and our administration, and understand it's a work in progress. My passion is about getting and doing better, and that goes for me too.
Then that's what the fuck you should have said in the first place. How
well,
about
Bethune-Cookman said too little too late, sir. you out of here. They got rid of his ass.
Goose is cooked. See ya.
Another stop payment situation.
Okay.
You know, and so in the videos that he did put on social media, Dustin, that he's apologizing for, he said that he don't trust nobody at the school, that his office was dirty. It wasn't properly cleaned out for his arrival on campus. He and other members of the team had to pick up trash around the campus, and a fence had a hole big enough to drive a golf cart through. Then he says, do something about it. Help clean this shit up. I should leave, and I'm not even under contract. Well, I guess Bethune-Cookman agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So bye. Like, what'd you say you're going to do with DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Throw his ass right out the front door, okay?
That's what Bethune-Cookman
Throw him right
said.
Out there on the yard, okay? You get out there.
That's it. Now, go ahead and pick up the trash on your way out.
See
I mean,
ya.
First of all, sir, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know, in the sense that, what I mean by that, y'all, is if you are so invested in the betterment of the campus,
mm-hmm.
what is wrong with the head football coach gathering his players, which you guys, you know, on college campuses, the athletes and the football team particularly, you guys are icons on campus, leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
So then other students will have a little more act right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's the tone in which you said it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that you went on social media to further a narrative, true or not true, further a narrative about HBCUs being less than.
This nigga trying to be a superstar.
Oh, is that what it
and
was?
And you want Hollywood treatment when you go to this HBCU that
right.
is in need. Mm-hmm. Which that should be your his heart that. Isn't even in this for the right reasons, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. You say what you want about Deion Sanders, but he did elevate that football program Absolutely. At Jackson State, and his heart was in that.
In every
which
way.
Is why there was a painful experience attached to the separation of Correct. Him and that football team.
That was their pain talking.
This is a different situation. This is a motherfucker who came, and I shouldn't call him that. This is a person who came.
I was all right. I was all right with it.
Yeah. This okay. Well, you know, I don't give a. You don't give a damn. I don't give a fuck. So this motherfucker came into this college campus and this whole program, trying to elevate himself as opposed to doing good for Bethune-Cookman.
That's it.
University.
He made it about Ed Reed.
Yeah. Is it Bethune-Cookman College or University?
College.
College. Bethune-Cookman College. Yeah. Like he came. In there concerned about himself.
I'm wrong. It's university.
It's university?
Yeah,
okay.
Cookman University.
He came in there concerned about himself and elevating himself as a football coach so that he can go on to the next level in collegiate football coaching and trying to do what Deion did, but just
take your ass right on back to the University of Miami where you were an assistant.
Assistant.
Because clearly you're not ready for head coach leadership.
You don't.
That's what this tells me.
Yeah.
So
coaching is a very personal, intimate job. You have to literally love and care about those players like they're your kids.
And you need to exercise some leadership, sir.
Yeah.
That's lead by example. Again, I'm not saying.
Show them.
Just show them the way. You know, I'm not saying that the campus wasn't dirty.
No.
I believe that.
But that's not how you fix
it. That's not how you fix it.
That's not even going towards a solution.
No.
That's making things worse.
You're just talking shit to talk shit, and that's why Bethune-Cookman showed your ass the door.
As they should have. Good for him. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That
I love a good grand opening, grand closing.
And that's how you lead by example to these impressionable collegiate minds. These young kids, you show them that sort of bullshit
will
not be tolerated, and that's not how you show up in professional spaces as an adult.
Well, he was trying to shame the university and shame the children. And shame the leadership and the faculty and all of that, and you shamed your ass right out of that opportunity.
They said you thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it'll be a cold day. We'll see. But I think it'll be a cold day before you see another HBCU invite that energy onto their campus.
The spirit of Bethune is going on.
Not Mary McLeod.
Mary McLeod. She coming back up.
Mary McLeod said, that's what you get, Negro.
That's what you get, Negro.
Talking shit.
Okay.
Keep family business,
That's right.
That's right.
Kitchen table talk, what they call it.
And I wanted to kind of end with this, which is, I got this from my therapist several years ago, because, you know, I talk a lot. I got a lot to say. And within the context of my relationships, but I think this applies universally. Mm-hmm. She said, before you say certain things, ask yourself these questions. Mm-hmm. Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? Mm-hmm. And does it need to be said by me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that has really served me, Dustin Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everything that's true doesn't need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need to be said by me.
Mm-hmm.
And it damn sure don't need to be said by me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just some advice.
Free game.
Free game. Ed Reed, anybody, Miss Deondra Sanders. Okay. Maybe it's a little energy on campus, but does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by you? And does it need to be said by you right now? And I'm going to add something because my therapist is a little older.
Okay.
Does it need to be said by you right now on this platform?
How about that? Zoom out and look at the bigger picture sometimes. Look at the impact of what you're saying and who's listening.
And who's, that's why I added that platform.
Yeah.
Who is listening?
Who's listening?
And how are they going to weaponize this information that you felt so pressed to open your damn mouth and give? So that's just the last piece of it, y'all. You know, we as Black folks need to be better gatekeepers, trusted opinion, my humble opinion. We need to be better gatekeepers of our own culture.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be a little more demanding of self-respect internally. And the next time you see somebody Black talking sideways about Blackness, I think you should just slap them in the mouth. No, I'm just playing. That's just jokes.
I remember the sister Scheherazade Ali that used to be on Sally Jesse Raphael back in the day. She was a radical.
I remember her.
And she used to say that the she would say that the men would give her an open-handed slap in the mouth for she suggested that, which is horrible. And we're not making fun of DV whatsoever.
Yeah, I was gonna say y'all should see my face.
I'm it's horrible, but she used to say that open hand, slap in the mouth, and I just remember that. So that is what I thought about when you said that. Slap him, give him an open hand, slap in the mouth.
What you say? Yes. Bloom. Okay. No, but no, we don't advocate violence
at all.
Court,
in any way, she was out her damn mind for saying that on Sunday Jazz Radio.
But it was hilarious.
The cadence was funny.
I was gonna say the comic, the levity of
that's all
to this moment was well worth it.
Right.
So that's it, y'all. Let's just, you know, let's keep it a buck, keep it tight. If we need to tighten up some shit intraculturally, which we do.
Which we do.
Let's keep it inside baseball.
That's what you need to do. And I wonder what DeAndre House looked like. Who? And Ed Reed.
Well, if Ed Reed House looked like his head.
And on that note, them the terms and conditions he need to read on the back of that dark and lovely perm box. Okay.
Listen, that's what he, no, let me stop. I'm not doing this with you, Dustin. All right, that's it. That's gonna clearly be it for this episode of Holding Court before we fuck around and get ourselves in some trouble.
Listen, we on the edge today.
On the edge. What was that show I did? Beyond the Edge.
Beyond the
that's
Edge.
What we on today.
You were so good on that.
That was fun.
Had me ready to cuss that lady out, Paulina. I'll text you. I don't care. We could. I'll text you. Like Ebony.
You sure?
Am
did.
I gonna have to?
You said Dustin said, am I gonna have to come to the jungle?
I didn't like how she was handling you.
She was doing a lot. Anyway. To Paulina. next week, we will, of course, be right here, back in court, in session, handling the business as we do on this show.
Yeah.
And y'all, keep us voted up. Y'all know we are in this game for real. We in it to win it. We are NAACP nominated.
Yes.
Best Outstanding Newscast. Excuse me, Outstanding Podcast, rather, in news and information. Dustin and I will continue posting that link. Vote, vote, vote.
Yes, please vote.
Don't boo.
Vote. And speaking of handling business, Ebony, I'm so proud of you. You've been handling your MFing business, okay?
Hey, baby.
Bet on Black is a success. It's selling like hotcakes. Yeah. You've been so well spoken on your press tour. You did so good on The View. Memorable moments. People will never forget you talking to camera, to DeSantis, and saying what needed to be said.
That's it.
You were so good on The Breakfast Club, Ebony. I'm so very proud of you. That's all I
want
to
say. I love
you,
Dustin.
And
thank
congratulations
you.
On your new show.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because
Equal Justice. Baby.
Who, baby?
Equal
we
justice.
We about to judge. Everybody about to give.
Give it.
Know that.
Okay.
All right. What you want the people to do in the meantime, Dustin?
Read your terms and conditions and buy Bet on Black, the good news about being Black in America today.
Available wherever you buy your books, especially the Black places. Shout out to Ashley Hobbs. Holding Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dawson Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.